Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Record.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
It's Ben Vanell here, Tommy, calling in, doing a remote report from quarantine. We're all stuck in separate locations this week for a very sickly episode of Filthy Casuals. Rounding out the trio, it's another man who I would describe as fully sick.
I'm perfectly healthy, but I can kickflip. I am absolutely fine. But you two, you're feeling scratchy, Ben. Tom is full on sick.
And I'm full blown.
Yeah, you sound full blown too. Your voice has changed.
Yeah. That's finally that, a couple of pitches deeper.
This postcard. Well, this podcast is hosted by a butch woman. That's what everyone will be thinking this time.
Really kicking him while he's down.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Fight back?
Especially since I have a strong suspicion that I caught this from one, if not both of you, last week when we recorded.
Yes, when we shared one glass that we all drank from and then spat back into and then drank from again.
Yeah. When we did our classic like Friends promo shot milkshake drinking.
Yes.
All drinking like little pigs out of the one trough. But yeah, I definitely don't. I'm fine, but you don't think it's a Corona boy, but... Literally, our government and doctors and shit are telling us, like, hey, maybe fucking hang back for a couple weeks. So since we had the opportunity to do that and record this through the power of technology, well, you know, fuck off. We did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to my GP tomorrow. And I had to... I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's... Even though you feel like you're doing the right responsible thing, because this weekend I'm meant to be going interstate and doing a bunch of shows and stuff. So it's like, well... I got to work out what's going on because I don't want to be on a plane and make other people sick if that's what it is.
Yeah.
But I just felt, I did feel kind of like a hysterical boomer having to call up my GP and make the appointment, like going, hey, can she see me tomorrow? And the receptionist is like, what's it about? And I'm like, it's about the thing. And she's like, what are the symptoms? And I'm like, it's probably not it. You know what? Actually, I feel fine. Don't worry about it. Just so embarrassing to have to make that call.
I'm sure cancer's just back. It's fine. Don't worry about me.
And then she gets on the phone and is like, so what's going on? And I'm like, look, these are the symptoms. I don't have any of the respiratory stuff, da-da-da. Mm. And she's like, look, come in tomorrow. We'll take a look at you and we'll tell you you're fine. And I'm like, I don't, I'm happy to not come in. I'm just, isn't this what you're meant to do?
Yeah.
Get on the phone and check?
Absolutely.
I don't know. But, you know, because there is like a hotline for it, but it's crashed. Like no one can get through. Like, yeah, I just truly for 24 hours have been like, I don't know what I'm meant to do.
Oh, completely. There's heaps of people at work who are walking around with colds, and it's like, yeah, sure. Like, most of the time you go to your work, and if you got a cold, you don't take a day off. That's kind of, you know, taking a sickie for that is kind of shitty. But
it's the world we live
like,
in.
There's a global pandemic on. Maybe stay home, dude.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, when you think about the fact that, for me, like, I have to fly to... two separate cities this weekend to do shows, and just the idea of like podcaster infect hundreds of people.
Fuck.
But then like on the news broadcasts about it, when you're patient zero, they'd all be asking like, so what's a podcast? the exact same question.
Ironically, killing off all the elderly with coronavirus gets rid of the people who haven't heard of podcasts.
Yeah. One step closer to creating that utopian society that I'd like to live in.
Yes.
I do feel the same, that it feels weird to like take proper precautions, but I guess it makes you realize how fucking disrespectful we are towards others when we're regular sick, that you just walk around fucking coughing on everybody. Like, if you have the opportunity, and I understand that casual workers can't do this, but it's not the fault of, it's not their fault. Like, casual work is an issue for that reason. Like, there should be a way for everybody to not infect others with sickness. And it's a weird clash of, like, just a virus popping up, and but then it fucks with every single one of our methods of production and distribution and our workplace culture, and every issue that we have with our society is brought to the fore when something like this happens. So I think it's kind of cool. Hopefully it tears that all down.
Well, it's funny, even like in the last week, like so a week ago we did the show and you guys were a little sick and it's like, all right, yeah, you know, life goes on, bit sniffly, but what are you going to do? To then, you know, a week later when this idea of this pandemic has really gripped the news and everything, and you know, just the difference in a week's time, me going, well, I kind of have to give them the heads up that I'm sick and let them decide what they want to do. That that whereas, you know what I mean, like last week you guys turned up and I was like, yeah, cool, what are you gonna do, you know?
Last week it was I'm washing my hands, you know, twice as long as usual. This week it's like, if I notice someone come out of the bathrooms and I don't think they've washed their hands, I'm like giving them an angry glare. Like, it's I'm gripped by paranoia.
But I mean, everyone will, the whole thing with it, right, is that like pretty much everyone is gonna get it. So it's about minimizing the impact on our healthcare systems and that sort of shit.
Yep. And the vulnerable, so, obviously, trying not to.
If we can.
I mean, I do feel me clogging up my GP for half an hour tomorrow because I just haven't taken care of myself. Like, I haven't had enough veggies, and as a result, I've gotten a little bit of the sniffles. But it's really put me on my ass. Like.
The cunt
feel horrific.
If you were in like one of the World War One trenches, one of the sick bays there, everyone's been shot and their legs blown off and stuff, and you're like, oh, I dropped a box on my foot when we were moving to come here. Like, I'm sorry, I need help, but like, this sucks that I'm here.
Yeah. Hey, do you guys feel a little bit like, because for me, I'm in my apartment and I'm sitting in the exact same pose and everything I would be in if you were to be here recording. It sort of feels like a bit Fight Club. Like, what if this is just, what if you two are figments of my imagination and this is what it actually looks like to an outside eye every week that we do the show?
I'm genuinely sitting in like the corner of my room looking at the corner because it's the least.
You're in power down mode.
Yeah, I'm trying to use all my brain power to focus on this, so I don't want any other distractions.
Yes, I've got.
I'm having just like, I'm going into like, what's it called? Like muscle memory, where like when I can hear you talking in my ear, I'm looking at the part of the room where you would normally be sitting.
Man, that's. Maybe you do have something.
Well, I'm squatting on top of my bed. I'm fully naked and I've got all the blinds up. So my neighbors will not have noticed anything different from my usual lifestyle. This time I'm just got a microphone.
Chimpanzee boy has come home. Good.
Yes. Yeah.
He's sitting confused on his bed, not quite sure what it is, but he knows that it's soft and that feels good.
Yeah.
Well, in further coronavirus news, I guess this probably by the time this goes up, this will be confirmed, fully confirmed, you would think.
That's the speculation that I'm reading, yeah.
Yeah, so today, so we're recording this Wednesday evening, Australian time, and as of about midday today, a whole bunch of sources claiming that the cancellation of E3 for this year is imminent. I think Devolver was like the first company to, they just went rogue and tweeted like, hey, don't book a flight if you haven't already, if you're planning on coming.
Cancel your E3 flights and hotels, y'all, was the exact phrasing. Yeah.
Them being like one of the companies that holds a press conference for the last few years. So
yeah.
Yep.
They would know. It seems as though E3 has gone through the process of contacting people who need to know first. And yeah, it's right. just we're awaiting like a public announcement from them. But so many journalists have said multiple sources have confirmed this. It's not happening this year. And it's mm-hmm. no surprise at all, really, at this
no,
point.
No, none at all.
No, yeah.
But it is weird that the news has been floating around out there for about 6 hours at this point. And I don't know, maybe this is more to do with the time difference than anything else. That they haven't just like jumped in and gone, oh yeah, okay, well if the news is out there, then yes. It's yeah, cancelled.
So they're in such a precarious business position as well, though. Like, E3 already is yeah. in such a fucked state that they need to be so careful with how they come at this.
The ESA, that's the company we talked about a couple of months ago that had that sort of expose piece written about them, which was really, really interesting. They're the organization in charge of this. They're apparently, the reports are that they are preparing a statement. And you're right, Knox, like they have to prepare this statement like their careers depend on it, which they probably do.
Yeah.
Like already Sony was out of E3 mm-hmm. indefinitely. Yep. This puts such yep. a question mark over so many other people returning next year when like this was kind of going to be their make or break year in a lot of ways anyway. And yeah. to delay that by a whole nother year really will have give people a lot more time to make other plans and figure out other options for
right.
how they break this sort of news that they normally break there.
I've seen a lot of speculation that this probably means that this is it for E3, like plenty of companies that would have been showing up. Because, you know, the public, the gaming public, like around the world, I don't think it'll make any difference to us. Like those trailers and that marketing has to happen. It'll just probably all still go out at the same, roughly the same time as it would have.
Yeah.
And probably the end result is plenty of companies walk away from it and go, oh, we actually didn't need to be there at all. Like yeah, this sure. was this so is much Microsoft's, easier and cheaper.
Yeah, Microsoft is probably the big one that sort of has, I guess, yeah, given a reason for people to pay attention to E3 still. And if they're missing their console launch year, then next year Microsoft just go, ah, we'll, you know, rent out our own theater to put on a press conference. We don't need to do this.
They own their own theater across the road from E3. That theater that they do it from, Microsoft fully owns. And chances are they will still do their own thing from there, I guess. They own the space. Or they'll just say, hey, look, in the interest of not getting everyone in the one place, we'll just do a live stream. But it won't, I think you're right, Tommy, change things for us too significantly. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if with all this stuff going on, both the PS5 and the Xbox Series X fell back a little bit if they didn't end up launching this year.
Good point.
Yeah, there's certainly, it could be issues with supply of parts. You know, that's the big thing that's impacting other industries is parts made in China have experienced significant delays. I could definitely see that happening, yeah.
It's already happening and it's not been as long as this will go for. So, like, the way that they've been sort of, Sony especially, spinning their wheels about this, it hasn't seemed like they're totally ready to go anyway to me, so...
I was just looking at an article that was sort of, reflecting on the fact that, I think it's a Polygon article, the headline, Sony's silence on PS5 has done wonders for the next-gen Xbox. I think that's pretty fair. I think that's a great, summary of the situation. Xbox is well ahead. It's controlled the media landscape for the past 6 months at least. And now Sony's going to get hit by a fucking, global pandemic.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. But also I think people, I would be so up for the idea of people as much as possible being able to push a bit of a pause button here and dealing with this sort of thing. Because like, you know, it's fine if we have to wait a bit. Treat people's health as the primary priority.
Yeah.
If it's at all possible. But, you know, the way that our cultures or our societies are set up, to have so many people who will be in huge trouble if they can't keep going with their week-to-week work, their day-to-day work that they live off of. Like, a lot of people will be in a lot of trouble if they're unable to keep going the way they can. A lot of people won't be able to get medicine that they need in a timely fashion because all the production of that stuff is going to be altered. It's going to be fucking crazy.
Yeah,
podcasts will have a slightly awkward, stilted thing as all three hosts are in a different room from each other.
They keep
but let it all crumble
a little bit more than
Well, whatever, let it burn. Communism should rise up after this.
Yeah.
Instead of being sick, we'll be hammering sick.
You're the only one of us that's fully healthy, and you've got the worst attitude about it.
That's very true, but also, it can go further down.
Yeah. I mean, I saw an article earlier that was sort of saying the kind of reporting on the you know rumored cancellation of E3. As sort of saying, oh yeah, amidst all of this other stuff and now coronavirus, like kind of not really putting the blame solely at coronavirus. So you know what right. I mean? Sort of seeming right. to suggest like they were already teetering. It was probably a big chance of happening, you know, 75% of the way anyway. And then this is just like the nail of the coffin. And you have to wonder, like, if it was still, you know, pumping along, like, if you know, if all of the big companies still did their press conferences live there and it still did have that stronghold, like whether they would be cancelling it this far out or whether they'd be kind of, you know, holding back to see how it all shakes out. Because it is significantly later in the year than a lot of the other things that have cancelled at this point.
True.
Yeah.
It's also bigger than those other things like GDC. And I mean, GDC is the only other big one that I can think of that cancelled in terms of game stuff. And
oh, there was some game stuff, yeah.
Some other thing, some Nvidia fucking thing, I think right. got cancelled as well.
But they were like just things. About to happen, and right. so of course they were the first ones to get cancelled. But E3 is big, and maybe you're right. Maybe it's like there's a few people there who are like, oh fuck, thank God. But
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, when is it? So because it's mid June, so Coachella cancelled yesterday or today?
Yeah.
Huge music festival in Los Angeles, but that's early April. That's the start of April. So that's
Dark
like
Mofo.
You know less than a month out.
Dark Mofo in Australia. Australia.
That's in May.
South
yeah.
by Southwest also, I believe.
Yes.
South by Southwest canceled. Yeah. That's soon. Yeah. Yeah.
I like game football matches are being played in front of no one in the UK, I'm pretty sure. Or maybe that's in Italy or it's all going to happen. Yeah. In most places, it seems like, and probably for good reason. Like, I don't think there's some alarmist shit going on with this of like people buying toilet paper and whatever, like, fuck off. But also, there are proper public health and safety things that are being done that should be done. So, nothing important is being lost. All this stuff can happen without it. No one is in trouble. No, like, and not even in a forget like basic survival needs. No one. Other than maybe the ESA is harmed by this at all. Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo and everyone will be fine with business as usual should it just not happen.
For any international listeners, look up the statement by the guy who runs Dark Mofo. It's like an arts festival down in Tasmania every year. I think he's the guy that owns the gallery that it kind of all takes place at.
Yeah,
but anyway,
I believe it is, yeah.
Did you read it? He put this, it's like this incredibly transparent, like, I'm being a bit hysterical, but like, here's what would happen to, if people came and then someone got sick, then that damage to my business and then it probably would never be able to happen again. It's just literally one dude who's just fired out a Facebook status and hasn't gone back over it to make it kind of like PR lingo or anything. Like it's just this guy absolutely shooting from the hip about his just personal thoughts about it and not speaking on behalf of like a big brand or anything like that. It's a good read. Look it up.
I'm reading there's a Guardian article about it. It's got some extracts of the quotes. It'll murder an already massacred tourism in Hobart, which is a shame. He's got no choice to do it. He feels like the government's already on the hook for a couple of $1 million. Obviously, the Tasmanian government puts in for this festival. But he says, the lead line is, if I ran Dark Mofo and nobody came, I'd lose $5 million or more. So,
He's like, if I don't can it and something happens, then it couldn't recover. Mm. But as it is, I can come back next year. And even though that's he's like, I don't think anything would happen, but I can't roll that dice.
Yeah.
Well, and it, yeah, most people would be fine as well. I want to be clear about the fact that, you know, I'm sure there are people who are like, oh, it's just the flu, whatever. And like, yes, for the majority of people, but the point is the same as with vaccines and stuff, where if you get it and are fine, you might transmit it to someone who's not. That's the problem.
Yeah, so, children and the elderly, you know, and people with respiratory illnesses that are already things, they're super vulnerable, and that's who gets affected by it, by the people who aren't washing their hands when they leave the fucking bathroom. So, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, to be fair, it's not carried in your piss, so it doesn't really matter. Like,
no, it's carried in your hands.
It's carried in your breath and shit. You're done anyway. Like, all the hand sanitizer and people buying up shit, like, it's not super helpful. That hand sanitizer stuff as well, it kills most of the germs, but then the ones it doesn't only get stronger. It's like, you know, when like the Russian bad guy shoots down a whole bunch of Americans and then one American survives and he's just a little kid, but then he grows up to be an action hero and then he kills the Russian guy, played by the same actor but with aged makeup on now.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Germs.
Okay. We're all aware of that.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's a movie somewhere.
Is it Top Gun? It sounds like Top Gun.
it's weird. I can't remember an equivalent thing. There have been, like, obviously other things like SARS and Ebola and whatever and all the ones it gets compared to. But this is the first one that's come along since our media and general fear landscape has been the way that it is.
Yeah.
And it feels weird and creepy. And I think that people aren't being over the top by cancelling stuff that doesn't need to happen.
No, I mean, the country of Italy has closed its
borders. Wow. Sorry, who wants to go first?
Italy has closed its borders. It's completely on lockdown. Like, hundreds of people have died in Italy. And it's bizarre because it started in China, which I think, lends credence to we should be extremely careful because it spreads like a motherfucker. And I really do feel like this is unprecedented. I'm not one to get sort of hyperbolic or over the top about stuff like this. And it feels pretty wild.
Yeah. Well, as someone who's about to be doing in 2 weeks' time a show in a large arts festival in this city, it really does feel like, all right, what's fucking happening here? Like, I've just literally been sitting here all day with my email open, just waiting for the email to be like, all right, it's off. Like, it truly does feel like that could be 24 hours down the line, because it's each day in Victoria, they upped the emergency level today.
Yeah.
You know, a few more cases, and it's like, all right, well, it's not slowing. Like, at what point? Because that's the thing, too, and to sort of tie it back into E3 and the world of video games, like, I'm sure that with a lot of this stuff, there's, like, big discussions with the companies, like, insurance people and all that manner of stuff of, like, all right, well, E3 is far enough away that, who knows, it probably would be fine, but if it's not, if we pull the pin now, we'd get covered for a bunch of it. If we leave it, we might not. You know, I'm sure those are a lot of conversations that are happening. So it really is hard to know, like, especially just being a participant in something and not fully being privy to those conversations. It's like, should I not worry about working on this material or what?
Well, at some point, the other thing, the external thing is, if our government decides to up the threat level or whatever again, then the government has the ability to ban mass gatherings, or at least provide a strong disincentive to do so. And if that happens, then the festival doesn't have a choice. It's just, it's...
That's when we take to the streets and start doing underground comedy in a steel mill, Ben.
That's when we start miming on the street corner. I think that's how mime was invented. It was, you know, when the Black Plague was spreading through Europe. The comedy festivals took to the streets.
It carries on people's breath. So as long as you don't talk, you're fine. Everyone, exactly. As long as nobody talks and nobody laughs, then you're perfect, which is where the art of physical theatre comes in.
I guess podcasting will become really important.
Yeah.
Become. It already is. Please. This is an incredible medium. It's really weird. And like, for some reason, I feel a bit silly in both directions. Like, I want to take it seriously enough, but I don't want to be crazy over the top. And I'm sure there are people going very far in both ways. And it's just... trying to find that middle ground of going like, hey, let's make sure nobody who's vulnerable gets sick.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, me going to the doctor tomorrow, if it was purely, like, if I had the option of just lying low and staying in the house for, you know, 4 days or however long it takes, I'd just do that. 14, I'd just be like, what? Pardon?
I think it's like 2 weeks, which is crazy long.
Well, yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
Like, I probably wouldn't be too fussed about it, but it's like the fact that I hypothetically have to be out in the world over the weekend. It's like, well, I, you know, I'm pretty good at just pushing on if I'm unwell, but, you know, it's, yeah. And like, if I went away for the weekend and got back and found out I'd had it, and then it's like, oh my God, I got to contact all these people. Like, like doing the STD ring around. Like,
that is what I've been thinking about the most.
Yeah.
That's
just calling up Subway. Hey, who was working in there at lunchtime?
Yeah, I think I might Saturday. Have given you the coronavirus and I might have given you chlamydia. So just get both of those. Just get the whole thing tested.
Yeah.
The world will be fine and everyone will be okay and everything's all fine. But hey, better. Here's a phrase I just came up with. It's better to be safe than to be sorry about giving someone chlamydia. Which is why I wear a condom.
Right.
Do you get that? Right.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very good phrase.
Yeah, thank you. I invented it and the idea of condoms. I've made them as well. I still make mine out of pig's guts. Yeah.
You make your own. Right.
Yep.
That is very safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I do is I put a whole pig on my dick and then use that and then that's how it works. Did they used to be made out of pig's guts or am I thinking of footballs?
No, I think you're right. I think I think it's the same thing. The same stretchy medium.
What's his name? Is it David Cameron? Maybe that's what he was trying to do.
Oh yeah.
Invent a new form of condom.
Yeah.
If the pig's gut is safe, imagine how safe the mouth must be. A perfect posh British accent.
Oh yeah.
Is the phrase better to be safe than sorry, as in like better to be safe than. And then say sorry?
Yeah. Put a whole bunch of high vis on and then apologize.
Yeah.
Nah, it's a than.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify.
Yeah, so fuck E3. It can go away either way, but it doesn't need to happen if it's going to put anyone at risk.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Easy choice.
Moving on, speaking of, I don't know. I'm not up to it. I'm not
I'm
up to the task
that
of
you took
I'm not
the
up to the task
the
of putting together a
Anyway, moving on.
I was about to say, speaking about video games, because we got off the topic for so long that I truly forgot what this podcast is meant to be about.
Tommy, I don't want to freak you out, but I'm looking up a list of coronavirus symptoms and it says here that poor podcasting is actually one of the main symptoms. So
I've had
I'm sorry
years.
To say this, but we've all come down multiple times, yeah.
Reggie Fils-Aimé, ex-Nintendo America president, has joined the board of GameStop, which seems like an odd... seems like an odd position.
Totally, because retail is dying. Didn't he used to be a retail diet guy? He was like a Nike or Adidas guy before Nintendo. I'm pretty sure that's the case.
I didn't know that.
I think he has a background in retail stuff. And I'm assuming board of directors thing sounds like it'd be a pretty hands-off role, right?
Yeah, probably. Like
Is GameStop a good store? I've never been able to work out if people in America like it.
Yeah, they had Electronics Boutique as well, but I believe that GameStop over there is the same company that owns EB over here.
Oh, right, literally the same company. So on Reggie, he previously had roles with Pizza Hut, Guinness, Panda Express, Procter & Gamble, which is, I think, like a retail consumer goods company. But the end of the statement about him joining GameStop says, "We are pleased to welcome Reggie and a couple other people to the board. They are highly qualified and bring significant relevant experience to our turnaround." So, turnaround indicates they're going poorly?
I have no idea. But it must be a consultant type role then, I guess, right?
It's kind of, I don't, it seems like the sort of thing that almost, I'm surprised that it's allowed. Like, you have to think that there's still stuff on the boil in at Nintendo that would have been being worked on while he was there that he would know about. So it's kind of like a weird position to then be on the board of a retailer. Like, you must think there's someone in there going like, come on, man, give us the scoop. Like, what's, you know, what's happening this year?
Or at the very least, he's going to be maybe expediting, you know, the flood of Nintendo products into these stores. Like, is that, I mean,
or maybe he'll come in
towards Nintendo?
He'll come into one of the shops and be like, hey, guys, you see that that big shelf of Nintendo Switch games over there? Make it a little smaller. You can probably shorten that one for a while. Ooh. I don't reckon there's a whole bunch of...
Okay.
Do you have room for one game? Yeah, cool. Put Animal Crossing there. We'll move the rest of the store around a little bit.
I think he's got on. He's been brought on board the board to do what he did at Nintendo, which is to be a friendly face, to give them a good image.
Good point.
To do a couple of press conferences to make people like this company again. That would be my guess. That's why I'd hire him.
Have some memes made about him. People love doing that.
Yeah, that would be so weird though, because he's so associated with another brand that, like, you know, if you, we've all done like auditions for ads and stuff, they make you go like, hey, have you been in any other ad for the last 2 years? Because they don't want to use your face if you're also associated with another product. I'd imagine that's how you'd have to treat Reggie here, because and board of directors, by impression of that, having never been anywhere near the top of any company in my life, except for that one roof that I tried to jump off of, like, you can't assume that that's an in-depth role, right? That sounds pretty sidelines-y to me for some reason.
I mean, you...
executive producer strategy type of shit.
I don't think you're making too many day-to-day decisions.
Yeah, executive producer is very hands-on. I think your strategy, like you're the board, do our company's goals align with our company's budget? Like that sort of thing, I believe. So it is more high level for sure, as in like not, you know, high level as in the top, as in hands-off, but overall strategy stuff, I guess that's why he's there.
It does seem like a strange move to go from being at a big company that makes the games to being at being on the board at a store that sells the games.
I guess the fact that his exit from Nintendo was very much him going, "Hey, I'm retiring," as well, makes me think that this can't be that heavy.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. And he'd be doing heaps of, like, I think I've seen a few tweets here and there of him popping up doing like corporate, like speeches at universities and stuff like that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, you'd have to think he'd be pretty busy just doing that kind of stuff. But
this is probably his victory lap. It's like, I mean, I'm sure he's already got a nest egg, but this is, you know, it's a nice little thing to, pop into the boardroom, you know, once every quarter and spend most of his time, probably doing commencement speeches at Ivy League universities.
Yeah, for sure. Well, fellas, in the last couple of weeks, I've been playing a little game by the name of BioShock. What do you two little cunnies think about that?
It's a good game. Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Pretend that it's the first time you've heard that information, please.
Okay. Wow!
What the fuck is BioShock?
There we go.
Holy shit! So you've played the first one in its entirety, didn't you, Thomas?
Yes, you tipped me off that it was the game on PS Plus for that month, which I'd let my subscription lapse, so I resubscribed to get not just that game, the collection that has BioShock 1 and 2 and BioShock Infinite. Mm. I burned through it really quickly. I was surprised by how quickly I finished it. I really, really enjoyed it. It doesn't really show its age too much, I don't think, having not played it before. I guess it probably shows its age most in its pacing, which I think is a good thing. Like, it's very snappy. Like, you really are just straight in there, you know, no drawn out cutscene introduction, no big tutorial. Like, it kind of reminded me a bit in pacing of something like Doom, where you're just straight in there having a good time. you know, not having to wade through too much stuff before you get going. And so, yeah, I think that kind of caught me off guard. Like, I kind of sat down to just be like, oh, I've got a little bit of time. I'll just get the introductory bit done. And then before I knew it, I was, yeah, hours in and making actual progress in the game pretty deeply. But, yeah, I loved it. It's heaps of fun.
Yeah.
Is it an all-timer for the two of you, or it's more Infinite that you're into?
It's definitely more Infinite for me, but that is also the first BioShock game I ever played. I played Infinite. I just saw the trailer. I was sort of pretty tapped into games at that point in time, and I think this was close to a day one purchase for me. Maybe not literally, but like I was hanging out for Infinite, having not played any of the previous games. But the first one I also love. It's if Infinite's a 10 out of 10, the first one's a 9.5 out of 10. It is a very impressive work of art.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it at the time, but it's been pushing 15 years for me now, I guess. Like, right. I played it at the time, and then it's today. So it's good to hear that it kind of holds up with this re-release.
Yeah, I mean, there's little parts of the graphics here and there, obviously, but it honestly doesn't... I kind of kept forgetting how old it is. Like, I didn't feel like I was having to really give it too many concessions of like, oh yeah, this is a bit dodgy, but it's of the time. Like, it's more, you know, more just like the odd UI thing and like when you go from area to area, there's like a big loading screen, which feels like something that's very much of its, like just that kind of lack of seamlessness between areas takes a little while, but you know, whatever. Yeah, I thought the world is like very, very convincing, so well thought out and well realized. Yeah, I when I was coming up to the end, I kind of felt like this must be like a dummy ending, and then there's going to be more after, like, because I felt like I just had gone through it so quickly.
I guess you did. Like, I think you went through it much more quickly than I did when I played it, which I think was when the collection came out, if not like not a lot earlier. Certainly, nowhere close to its actual release. But yeah, I guess it's a game that stood on its merits as like a really well thought out world and story and experience, rather than something that had to be padded out by heaps of fights and justify the price tag with a 30-hour campaign. Like, it came out at a time when it's like, hey, this is a autorial, a piece of art with a clear purpose and vision, and it's also really, really fun to play. And it just, I think, was able to stand on that.
I think I just kind of liked the simplicity of the gameplay. I mean, there's sort of, you've got your abilities and stuff, but it doesn't get too lost in like skill tree and upgradey kind of stuff. Like, you just you're just in it and you're just shooting around, and it's fun. There's bits of it that are a little fetch questy, I guess, but that didn't really bother me too much.
I do remember it being a lot more about that atmosphere rather than the actual gameplay, which I think my thing with it is that the shooting was pretty straightforward and it felt good and like very chunky, but also like wasn't really too difficult at any point, and was only really there in service of like creating this like intense mood of like there's these wild people down there, these absolute wild cats who live down in Rapture. They are an absolute riot. Like, the mood of it and the atmosphere and the way that it brought that all very well out to you in the first person setting was really cool at the time, so it's good to hear that it still holds up.
Yeah, I also like that you're not fucking around with character creation. Like, I don't know, it being free of a lot of things that tend to frustrate me a little bit that have become so commonplace in the last, whatever you'd say, 7 years or so, maybe. Just all of that stuff kind of not being in there and you just straight in, I really enjoy it. And so
It's funny that because I remember at the time I was a big fan of System Shock 2.
Right.
And BioShock was a lot more sort of arcadey, like you're describing, than the System Shock games were, which were all about that like very you know, thinky Deus Exy type of shooting. Mm-hmm, and and like having lots of little things that you've got to move around in an inventory and stuff. And Bioshock was a big difference where it was a lot more focused on zipping you through this roller coaster underwater.
Yeah, it was about meeting these characters in this incredibly strange situation and coming to grips with more, what happened in the world and feeling like you are in the world. And
I mean, yeah, there's a couple little things of like the radio that you've got that people are communicating with you via. I ended up having to put subtitles on pretty quickly because frequently you're in this like insane gunfight and, you know, someone's talking at you and it's like, I'm not catching any of the dialogue because there's just so much, you know, noise going on the screen at the time. Which, but, you know, whatever. So then I think you guys both said to perhaps not worry as much about number two.
Yeah.
So I jumped straight into Infinite as soon as I finished Bioshock 1. And still pretty early on in that, but really enjoying it. And also to go from one to that, which is what essentially de facto number three, like seeing the passing of time and the way they're now putting you into the story and all the technical stuff that they're now doing differently is really impressive and interesting.
The gap between Bioshock 1 and Bioshock Infinite is less than the gap between Bioshock Infinite and now. Feel old yet? But like that span of time, that's how old Infinite is. And to see that much of a change from then to Infinite, and from memory, Infinite still probably seeming relatively modern. I don't know.
Bioshock Infinite?
Yeah, do you feel like that seems as though it could have come out within the last couple of years, or does it show its age a bit?
It weirdly enough, it almost shows its age a little bit more than Bioshock 1.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was glad to hear that there were aspects of it that, you know, on your first experience were like fresh or, you know, technologically superior, because I feel like Infinite and 1 are incredibly similar in a lot of ways, in a lot of technical ways, a lot of mechanical ways. I think the only real differences for a lot of people were the story and the setting.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, but I mean, I feel like Infinite is trying to do... Well, it is trying to do a bit more than one. Like, I think it's doing a few more things that were perhaps newer at the time. And one just feels like it's not trying to do as much, so it doesn't... for that reason, it doesn't feel as dated.
Right, doesn't overreach.
Whereas Infinite's like, oh, this is kind of the beginning of this kind of stuff coming through, and I don't know, but still enjoying it a lot.
Yeah,
cool. Nice. Well, speaking of older games with a fresh coat of paint, I played a little bit of a game that is a remake of a 22-year-old game that was first released 8 years ago or more and came out last week. It's called Black Mesa. It's a remake of Half-Life 1 that was made by fans. It got started being made in 2005 because Half-Life 2 came out with something called Half-Life Source, which was the original Half-Life game, but just ported into the Source engine. And it wasn't as much of a remake as people thought it was going to be. So then these people decided, hey, let's do a full-on remake of Half-Life 1. They've been working on it for years and years and years, released most of it back in, I'm pretty sure it was 2012.
Right.
It was everything up until like sort of the last maybe quarter-ish fifth of the game, which is this chapter in like an alien planet called Zen. And then they were like, we'll release that bit later on, because when the original Half-Life came out, that was kind of a sledged part of the game. People didn't like it as much. It was a lot of jumping around and it just didn't feel as good as the rest of the game. So they've spent that span of time between then and now remaking that part. And they've released the whole thing as like a finished, here you go, out of early access game as of last week. And it's good.
Okay.
That's a lot of preamble for a good. Yeah. Well, it's really weird. It's a long fucking development time for a good too. Like the game feels really weird because it's a remake of such an old game that also is being remade in such an old engine at this point.
Yeah.
That the whole thing feels like this weird out of time bizarre thing. And they got Valve's blessing for it at some point, and this is like an official kind of remake of Half-Life 1, essentially. Mm. And it is really good. Like, if you've never played the first Half-Life, this is a totally fine way to go through that first game if you feel like it. As far as remakes go, I think it's as good as you'd want. You know, they take everything about the first one and they throw it out if it sucks, and they change it if it needs it, and they add little bits extra to sort of make it more in line with what Half-Life 2 then did to the story of Half-Life 1 retroactively.
Is this stuff that they did in that first 2012 release, or is this stuff that's been honed over the 8 years?
So it has been honed and some bug fixes and stuff like that, but I played it back in 2012 and a lot of it is from that. So the Zen part right at the end is the new bit, and it is very much improved from the first game. It's more of like an open area than the first one was, and has like sort of an exploration element to it, which is really cool, and it's a nice change of pace from like the pretty straightforward 90s corridor type shooting that you're doing the rest of the time. And it's cool. It's not that long, and it's not... I don't quite understand what the difficulty was with the amount of time it took to make that first bit versus the second bit.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I guess it was technically about 7 years for each one, so half and half, pretty much. But yeah, it's decent. It's a remake, so the same opinion I have of remakes stands with this, where ultimately it's a pointless thing in a lot of ways. But it's a nice coat of paint for a very good game. And yeah, if you've not played the first one, maybe this is a little easier to approach.
Is this free?
No. So this one is, I have no idea now, but it was probably about $20 back in 2012 when I bought it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably hovering around there somewhere still. And those Half-Life games were free. So if you didn't pick them up, I think they're back to being paid for now. But yeah, if you just got them, that first Half-Life is still fine to play through if you aren't thrown off by older graphics. But it's good. And like, it's a group of essentially fans making this thing as kind of a passion project that did officially become sanctioned or whatever. But I don't believe they were given too much money by Valve or anything like that. So it's cool what they've done. But I guess just the fact that I played through that original Half-Life a fair few times means that this, of course, isn't going to be some crazy, like, whoa, look at what they've done. It's like nice little improvements that you would do if you were tightening up that original Half-Life. But it's in no way like a full ground up, let's try again, like sort of the Resident Evil 2 remake or things like that, where they kind of go,
right,
let's take the same template and make it for a modern era. They very much are remaking Half-Life 1 with settings ratcheted up, essentially.
Yeah.
But it is decent for that.
I believe this is... I've played this. I played it in 2012. I feel like that would have been the time in my life where I had just gone through like ages of not having any money and suddenly had a full-time job, bought a computer and like downloaded everything. And I feel like, I mean, I know this for sure. Black Mesa is the only version of Half-Life 1 I've played. I definitely played this when it came out. Like I'm remembering like the on a rail section and all this stuff. I'm looking through some screenshots now. And yeah, I've played this. I don't have any inclination to go back and finish it now that it's all been released.
No. And there was a free version back then as well, I believe. And at some point it switched over to being paid for.
Yeah, I reckon I downloaded this and like three other, big full game length Half-Life mods and just never played the original Half-Life. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a fine substitute for the original, really, because it is staying very, very faithful to it. That first section that you would have played in the original too, if anyone played that original is wondering, oh, do I come back for Zen? If you don't have that original save and having to go through all of the first bit again, like it's cool seeing that game again. I wanted to do it anyway because I'm looking forward to playing Alex, but it's a lot to go through to get to the new content. Maybe there's some way to skip it and I didn't really look for it, but it's totally cool, but I think people will have their own personal taste as to whether this suits them as like a first time playing Half-Life or if it's worth it to them to replay Half-Life as this.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, right. The other thing, I can say what I want here. None of you can fucking get me. Because we're all in separate rooms. I can just fucking, I can tell it how it is. All this right, is why Alex over. Jones is so crazy.
I'm coming over.
No, don't. I'm afraid now. One other thing I played a bit of quickly, if you want to hear it.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, be quick about it.
All right. I played the add-on to Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which is called... what's it called?
Warzone?
I was talking pretty quick there. Warzone.
Yeah. I'm looking it up.
Yeah. So it's their Battle Royale. Oh, Jesus.
Are you sure you're not sick?
Here comes the COVID, baby. It's a Battle Royale mode that got leaked that it was coming to this game a fair while ago.
Right.
But they just officially announced it and released it very recently. It is distributed as an update patch if you own the game, or if you don't own the game, you can download it for free. It's like 100 fucking gigabytes, but you can download it for free if you want.
Wow.
And it includes two modes. It's like the standard Battle Royale, except it's forced team-based Battle Royale, which is not my preference at all and did turn me off of this a little bit.
Teams of three?
Teams of three, like Apex Legends. Yeah,
yeah, exactly, yeah.
It's doing a couple of interesting things with that genre. It's got an idea where, like, if you die, you're put into this gulag where you and other dead players have one-on-one fights, and whoever wins that gets to respawn, which is
it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of a fun, intense thing because often with those sort of games...
It's like Exile Island from Survivor.
Sure, it might be like that.
Yeah, because you get voted off and you go to Exile Island, and then the next person gets voted off, they go to Exile Island, and then you have a challenge, and whoever wins, I believe, gets to go back.
Man. So,
Adam, can you kick Ben off the call?
Welcome to Exile Island, motherfucker.
Survivor is the greatest game of all. I mean, surely we can talk about Survivor on a podcast.
If Survivor is the greatest game of all, does that make Survivor All-Stars the greatest game of all?
Yeah, I guess it does.
Chess
is pretty good.
Yeah, it is a cool little extra thing because sometimes in these games you will just get sniped from a distance and you're like, well, that's fucking 20 minutes of walking around that is a waste. But with this, you get like a little intense flash of a chance to... You've just both got the same revolver and you're trying to get each other first. And it's actually pretty cool. And I do like that about it.
Yeah.
The forced team thing just really isn't for me, though. It's so uncommon in my experience to end up with a team you work well. I just don't want to do it, especially with that type of game. The thing I enjoyed about PUBG so much was the solo nature of it.
Yeah, the tension of being by yourself and fighting it out, surviving to the end.
Exactly. So this is cool, and it's very interesting that they've released it as a free game separate to its inclusion in the main paid-for game. I wonder if they've done it because it does give them a huge excuse to throw a bunch of pay-to, battle passes and subscription-y things and expensive little fucking items into a full price game, and people can't really complain about it then because like it is technically a free game separately.
Right.
So I guess this is technically a new game rather than even being an expansion or a patch or whatever.
Well, but, it's fucking 100 gig, so yeah.
Yeah. Pretty standard version of this sort of thing that is a relatively commonplace game mode now. But it's not terrible. It doesn't seem like it'll switch anyone over to this one if they're set on one of the others, but
right.
I probably said the same thing about Apex Legends at the time, so who knows how the fuck the winds will move.
Just before we wrap it up for this week, I played a tiny bit because it's only just come out today. Ori and the Will of the Wisps, the sequel to Ori and the Blind Forest on Xbox. It's on the Xbox Game Pass day one. God, you gotta love it. You really got to love it.
It's pretty fucking cool, isn't it?
It's awesome.
So
yeah.
Fucking cool. Just convenient. Just great. Just so good.
It's like when the Irishman like dropped on Netflix.
Yeah.
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 I guess it is like a digital release.
But, you know, it's the premiere of a game that's available right now on your thingy.
You're totally right. How long is Ori?
Pardon?
Is Ori way too fucking long as well?
Does it have a depressing ending?
Yeah. How's his face look?
I'm really enjoying it. Its face looks beautiful, actually. I played a bit of The Blind Forest, got pretty into it, but I think I played it like the evening that I got the Xbox originally, so I was kind of a bit overwhelmed by the amount of stuff that was on the Game Pass. I was kind of like dipping into a bunch of other things at the same time. But yeah, this is more of the same. Looks incredible. It's got that real kind of Hollow Knight sort of feel to it, but if the design was by like a Disney or a Pixar, it's incredibly beautiful environments, like the lighting and the wind effects and everything. It just looks great. And then, yeah, from digging into a couple of reviews this afternoon, it seems like a lot of quality of life improvements and kind of expands on everything that was good about the gameplay of The Blind Forest and it just makes it better. If you got an Xbox and you got the Game Pass and you like a platformer, these two games are must plays in my humble opinion.
Do you official you Tommy Dasilo must play.
Should I go in on Blind Forest or should I just download Will O' the Wisp and get stuck right into that one?
Yeah, it doesn't. I reckon just start on Will O' the Wisps. Mm. It doesn't relate back to the first one in any ways that are going to be too confused. Like, it's pretty self-contained story. Like, yes, it's very simplistic in nature in terms of everything that's going on. I'm really looking forward to spending more time with it this week. I spent very little time with it today. Just kind of got past the little introductory bit. It looks incredible. Sounds incredible. Beautiful orchestral soundtrack.
I'm looking forward.
More updated thoughts next week.
Yeah, looking forward to hearing more about it next week when we're all hopefully in the same room.
Yes, hopefully. I'm definitely going in on it. It sounds really fun, and I'm loving the fact that it's on Game Pass. I'll literally download it after we finish recording.
Great. Well, let's wrap it up for another week. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Head to filthycasuals.com.au and you can find the links to all of our socials, the Patreon, where if you subscribe, you can get a bonus episode every week, the YouTube channel, where we've got our Let's Plays, and I think that's just about it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time, and as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
stay healthy, everybody. Funny.
Yep.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.